Welcome to Yacht Femme, where we talk about the women that make the yachting industry. I'm your host, Andrea Tagliaferro. Learn who they are, how they got into yachting, and what they do today.
Meet Emma, the director and co-founder of Seize the Mind, a company revolutionizing mental health first aid training in the yachting industry. Based in Durban, South Africa, Emma's journey started as a stewardess, then became a chef, acquiring 50 years of industry experience. Emma's dynamic role spans daily operations and strategic growth at Seize the Mind. She aims to integrate mental health awareness globally into yachting standards, prioritizing seafarers' well-being.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Yacht Femme. I am super excited. We're heading into mental health, which is in May. And here I am with Emma Kate Roth. She is the co-founder and director of Seize the Mind. Emma, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Like I was saying before, some absolute queens have been on this podcast, so I feel very privileged.
Thank you for saying that. So many talented women are in the industry, and we've just been really lucky that people have found value in the show and show up like you, because everybody has very busy schedules. So I'm very thankful for your time and for sharing your story and any of your thoughts here.
No, thank you.
Let's start off with a little bit of introduction of who you are, what do you do, and how did you get into yachting?
Ooh, okay. So who I am? I am a South African chef originally that found myself in yachting. I started in the early 2000s, so been doing it for a long time, about 20 years. And I originally came from South Africa. I'm from a place called Durban on the East Coast. I studied psychology. That was my degree. I've always had a massive interest in psychology, people, connections. But I didn't actually know what I wanted to do at 20. So I abandoned my degree to my father's absolute horror. And one of my friends was doing a thing called yachting, and she was vibing, cruising around the world, sending like pictures. It was still like, I think it was Yahoo Mail we were communicating on, way before social media and iPhones. And I just kept doing my job, looking at her life, thinking, oh my God, that's my life. That's the life I should be living. All these fabulous photos, gorgeous people, big, huge, beautiful smiles. Everyone seemed really hot and it just seemed impossibly glamorous. And I just knew I wanted to be a part of it. So I kind of emailed her back and got all the details. She helped me kind of get set up with my STCW, explained what an STCW was because I had no idea. And then that was it. Bags were packed, flights were booked, and suddenly I arrived in Antibes to a whole new world and a whole new, I didn't know at the time, but a whole new life and career.
So when was this? Do you remember what year we're talking about?
I reckon it was about 2004, 2005. So it was very much in the days where, you know, you emailed and you printed all your like flight tickets and you got things like traveler's checks. And it was like the wild, wild west back in those days. Kind of a little bit more adventurous. You know, if things went wrong, if planes were missed, you had to hustle. There was no just jumping on your cell phone and figuring it out. It was like, ooh, okay, who do I call and what's the country code and how do I do that and where's a payphone? So it was that long ago, Andrea.
I did travel with the traveler checks, so I feel you. I do remember being on a trip in Egypt and one guy who only had traveler checks and the end of our destination was Paris, and now he was actually paying people off because we all had to like give him money because he had no other way of paying for anything with traveler checks. And yeah, travel with a printed board, they still exist, obviously. We still see those. But oh my God, for all of you traveling without an app, that we can just go customer service chat, I will be out of the country, thank you, and then you're done.
Exactly. Out. Yeah, so it started like that. It started with a connection, a flight, and I would say a dream, but I don't think I knew what I was getting myself into. It was much more of a kind of like diving in kind of mentality.
Yeah. If you're just hearing about the industry, it's like I remember when I heard about it, this girl tells me I work as, I think I still don't even remember the role because they were so like out of this world for me, but she was an assistant to the chef. So probably not a chef stew, but maybe a chief stew. And she told me what you did, and I was like, and this is a full-time job, and what do you do? And it was like, and I provision for the book, so you help a chef. Like everything she said, it was like another question. But enough about me. I actually have a, I don't know if you can answer this, but how come there's so many people in the yachting industry coming from South Africa?
Well, I kind of think I know the answer to this. So lots of South Africans, obviously coming from South Africa. Yeah, I mean, it's changed now since Instagram and things have opened up, but we very much kind of always had our eyes outwards, looking at other trends, looking at other music, kind of following the lead a little bit. And the kind of traditional thing to do for a lot of South Africans, was to finish university to get your degree, and then you would go to London, or it was always London. You'd go to London and you'd do a gap year in London, and you kind of discover yourself, you'd make mistakes, you'd drink a lot. So we called it the Heathrow injection. You come back with a few extra kgs after your year in London, and you would have, it was kind of almost like it was, I guess there's a kind of, I'm trying to think of an American comparison, but like, I mean, you go to college, but you do things like it's a cultural thing that you do to kind of blow off steam and make your mistakes without any judgment, without anyone kind of watching you go through all those ups and downs and everything. So we always had that going for us. And then South Africa made a ballsy move and basically played chicken with the English government about visas and stuff like that. And they fronted and said, well, we're not going to allow people from England. And England was like, fine, we'll stop letting South Africans in. And I think from there, we still had all of this need, all of this urge, all of these teenagers that needed to blow off steam in different countries and have that kind of that freedom and that wildness and that expression that we all need. And a lot of people were in the yachting industry already, and suddenly that became a very attractive second option. You could go to London, you could fight the visa battle, or if you had ancestry visa, you could do that. Or you could go on a yacht. You could be sailing around the world and getting paid for it and getting kind of experience. So a lot of South Africans just do that now. And I think there's a lot of, I mean, obviously the cons we know for South Africans is our passports. You know, we call it the green mamba, which is one of the most venomous snakes in South Africa, because it kind of, yeah, it's just not a great passport to have. It's a bit of a hack and a hassle for purses and captains. But you also are inheriting quite a lot of brilliant human beings. We're known for our like work ethic. We're known for kind of being having a really great attitude to everything and getting on with things. I guess maybe after the World Cup in rugby, we can be pretty insufferable because we've won it twice in a row. So that might burn a few bridges. I was like, do you know what rugby
I was in my Springbok colors. I used to play rugby. Almost all my friends in rugby were actually from South Africa. Amazing people, super nice and very hardworking and very smart, I have to say. Really, really enjoy rugby. But thank you so much for shedding a light on that. I never really understood. I did knew that they were in so many yachts, but there was always this issue with the passport. So something for me just there was like a, just didn't make sense. I didn't understand why. Thank you for that. Let me ask you more about what you're doing currently and what it is to work at Seas of the Mind. Tell us all about it.
Okay, well, thank you. So, Seize the Mind is a mental health first aid training provider. So, after all of my years in yachting, I kind of had the full spectrum of human experience on yachting, I think. I did sailboats, I did motorboats, I did regattas, I did private, I did charter, and I absolutely loved the majority of my experiences. I really did. I met my best friends. We had friendships forged in fire, kind of on charter trips in Turkey. I met my ex-partner. He was the captain of my boat. We went traveling around the world. So I had my best friends as my captain traveling around the world. So the majority of my career was phenomenal. Dolphins in phosphorescence outside of Jib. And you know, you've been on a boat, so you know what the stars are like in the middle of the Atlantic. Like, it just doesn't get anything any better than that. And it's such a rare, beautiful thing to kind of witness. But I also had the other end of the spectrum of experiences. I experienced panic attacks, bullying, harassment. I had more than one occasion where I had men coming into my cabin, like, you know, kind of pushing doors open. I had my back up against doors.
Oh my
On
God.
some of the boats I was on, didn't have any locks on them. Had to have engineers kind of come in and rescue me and lock me in guest quarters. I've had the full spectrum of experiences, plus also the kind of the trauma and stuff. If you work on sailboats, it's really dangerous. There's accidents. I've used my first aid, unfortunately, way too many times. And at the end of every single experience, you know, the one thing you can say about yachties is we are incredibly resilient. You know, we will put our heads down. We are team players. We will always get that boat over the line. We will get it ready. We will get it guest ready, and we will sparkle as soon as the owners come on. But I think the kind of the schism started opening up. Excuse me. A schism started opening up, you know, between what was being asked of me and what was being expected, and the treatments I was getting. And especially the first half of my career, I was in a relationship, a very loving, committed relationship. The second half, I was single. So I then also got to see that the kind of the single female's experience in yachting. And it was hectic. Honestly, there's no other word to say other than hectic. Even if things were going right, you just had these like these gentle kind of reminders that you were always vulnerable, or you had these microaggressions, or you had full-on horrific, scary assaults. So during COVID, I knew that I wanted to get off yachts. I knew that I wanted to do something different. I knew that, you know, I'm 40. I was 40 at that stage, and I was like, I don't want to be a 40-year-old wearing a netball outfit. I looked like I was kind of, you know, goal attack going to work every single day. And I
I'm sure
also
you didn't, right?
really, I totally did. I honestly did. I looked like a little top, like I'd love to say I looked like a professional tennis player, but I was no Anna Kournikova. I was much more like a ball girl. But you know, that's not a cute look when you're 40. And there was some part of me that really resented the fact that, you know, women could rise in the industry. We would start off as green stews or chefs because it was traditionally more interior roles. Now it's deckies. Now it's starting to expand, which is fabulous. But I resented the fact that, you know, when we got to like 35, we were kind of kicked out, and you would lose this whole amazing generation of women that had experience, had expertise. And in my head, I know in South Africa, the place that I come from, Durban, there was a bit of a problematic elephant herd. And they were kind of smashing down trees, and they were causing absolute chaos. And this very wise person was just like, well, these are all bachelor elephants. They're all, you know, young males, and they just don't know how to behave because they've got no matriarch looking after them, and no matriarch putting in boundaries and stuff. So they actually transplanted these kind of rough, bullish elephants with all this kind of like, you know, young energy, and they put them into another herd with a matriarch, and everything just calmed down. And I was like, I knew these stories from my previous life, and I kind of thought about it. I'm like, you know, at the end of my career, in my third late like mid 30s, I was starting to protect girls. I was starting to look after people. I was starting to be the kind of the auntie, the sister, maybe even the kind of mother figure that was kind of reminding them about boundaries, and also saying when like when someone's behavior was shit, it was shit. Like, that's not okay. People can't treat you like that. And as this was kind of happening and occurring to me, I was like, what happens when I leave? Like, you've just got all these young, fresh, gorgeous, beautiful humans that are kind of rudderless. So I also resented the fact that, you know, from 35 onwards, women just didn't have a place and a role in yachting. So I never, ever, ever wanted to just leave yachting and walk away and just think, well, that's it. I'm done. Fabulous. Thank you for all the good times and the great salaries. Bye. I wanted to have that bridge, that
Let me start
communication, that
back
connection.
from zero. Also, like, bye, but let me start back in zero. It was great. 35.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Let me get back into my sport, act like I don't know what I'm doing. Exactly. So I had all these things swirling around my head. I had all these intentions. I just didn't know how to do it. And then COVID hit, you know, and for so many people, it was horrific. For me, it was a little bit like a present wrapped up in sandpaper. And I managed to meet a female chef who, you know, being a female chef originally, we were always the kind of the only females in the kitchen. She had gone through stuff, I'd gone through stuff. And she told me about this course called Mental Health First Aid. And I was intrigued. So I did the course, and bam, the light bulb just went off. I was like, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. It's dynamic, it's engaging, it's important. It's not being taught in yachting. It is just, it ticked all the boxes. So before the ink was even dry on my certificate, I was back on their website and I was like, right, I want to be an instructor. And in fact, I want to tailor make this for yachting. And how I saw it working and how I still see it working is we've got this framework. We've got this important framework called the STCW, which, empowers us with firefighting skills, sea survival skills, man overboard skills, physical first aid. And I know, and you probably know as well, that statistically you're more likely to meet someone who's going through a mental health issue than an arterial bleed or an infant choking or a stroke victim. So I just saw this model, this kind of mental health framework coming into the STCW, and that is what I've been doing for the last 4 years, is talking about mental health in yachting, kind of raising awareness about mental health issues and problems, without trying to isolate or blame or finger point, and also kind of just reduce the stigma about talking about it. And whilst I'm doing that, also provide the training. So, people do now have the skills. They can recognize when their own mental health needs a little bit of help and take a bit of accountability in the same way as we have to take accountability for our physical health. I know that if I do a lot of exercise and if I hydrate and if I get good quality sleep and I eat decent food, I feel great. I don't do that all the time because, I'm human, but I know I can feel when I'm doing it how much better my body responds. And it kind of kicks into everything else. You have better sleeps, you have better relationships, better conversations. So I just want to do the same for mental health. I want everyone to understand what it is, what it isn't, and how they can start to be accountable for their own mental health. And inevitably, when there is a crisis on board, unfortunately, there will always be a crisis, no matter what we do, then people are equipped. They know what to do. They know what to say. And importantly, they know that they're not alone. And if they need help, we can provide them with the help. We can connect them with important helplines like IceOne, Yacht Helpline, or we can get them in touch with psychologists that understand yachting. All of my resources are, tried and tested therapists, CBT therapists, and they're all in the yachting centers. So we have people in Antibes, Antigua, and they've all got experience. So you're never alone. There's always help, and we can get you there.
Wow, thank you so much. This is amazing what you're doing.
You asked.
It's amazing what you're doing and really integrating, and you saw that from your past experiences, this was something that wasn't being talked about, wasn't being addressed. So I wanted to go back to what you just said and just put a little bit of my experiences. Every time I have something that I'm really nervous about, like an important meeting, an interview, or basically somewhere I am on display and I have to sell myself because I'm an introvert really. So this it takes a lot of energy and there's a lot of self-doubt. I go running and go to the gym. Every time at least because I do feel the change of endorphins. It does make me feel better. I take the shower, do my hair, and all these little steps now I know that are tried and true for me. I know what works. And those do elevate my confidence to go into a room with more with just more confidence and just a better presence. And of course, a better presence for myself is a better presence for you as well. That's also why I don't schedule people for that. I'm in California before 8:30 in the morning because you just would see someone who is still asleep and you would not get this energy. So that there, and I think it was really important when you said about like knowing what to do. We've all been in situations like if you're human and you're at a certain age, you've been in situations that you had preferred not to have lived through. Let's just put it that way. Sometimes we let things happen because we don't identify them to be wrong until, shit hit the fan, like until they're too late. And if we are able to identify them from the beginning, the middle, or the end, sometimes we don't know what to do. So we end up like just, sweeping them under the rug because we just don't know what to do. We may say it to someone, but you also don't know who you can trust to say it to. The yachting industry, I know you talked a lot about being on crew, but I did crew, but I consider myself to be land-based for a very long time now. The yachting industry is very, very small. So even if I had a bad experience, which it has happened to me with a client, I want to warn people. But I'm afraid because I don't know how they are going to receive it, how they're going to change my words, and how will it affect me in the long run because I have a reputation that I want to protect about how I conduct myself as a business person. So there are certain things that I don't even know how to best go about them. And I'm so happy that you are at least focusing on the SECW and they're helping so many people that are on board where there's so many issues, help them identify situation, know who they can trust and rely to, and see how to fix them. So that's already huge in itself. And then we can keep growing and like taking over mental health and helping all the other industries. So, well, you've been busy with your courses and your training and so much good that you're doing for the industry. So can you at least to date say what has been your proudest or one of your best days in yachting?
Probably. So, I mean, I've kind of talked about this a lot. It's part of my story. But I had a really bad time on one of my boats. I felt incredibly unsafe, psychologically and physically unsafe. And that coupled with a couple of other factors led me to have a breakdown on a boat. And, you know, I studied psychology, Andrea. I should have known better. And I didn't even recognize the signs and symptoms in myself. But someone noticed. She was a friend and she noticed the signs and symptoms. She was just so incredibly astute and smart and compassionate and empathetic, and she recognized that I was struggling. I was literally kind of at the end, I think. And she asked the right questions. She got me off the boat. She got me into therapy. She let me sleep on her couch for five days while I went through an intense kind of course of therapy, and really kind of saved my life. I know she saved my life. And a couple of years ago, I am doing this training, and I got the opportunity to bring her over to Palmer and do the training with her. And the only fact that I am here, able to help the next generation of crew and make the industry better, is because she helped me. And having her be part of my course was just, it was so incredibly emotional. And I was only standing up there in front of those people doing what I was doing because she had done what she had done. So I guess, yeah, just that communication, that relationship between women that is so special, that kind of, that's looking after each other and loving each other more than when sometimes you love yourself. Having the opportunity to kind of publicly say how she had saved my life was just a big honor, and having her be part of that was huge. And she's still one of my best friends, so she's not gone anywhere. I'm talking like in the past tense, like she's gone. She's still very much a part of my life and fabulous.
The fact that you were able to give back to someone that helped you in the most important time, wow, that's a very good day in yachting for 100%.
Yeah,
Thank you
it's my
for
best.
sharing and being vulnerable with that. Let's move the conversation into another question with
on.
one of my favorite questions of the show is like, can you tell me something about you that I may have known? Now I know that you know rugby and that you, of course, because you're South African, but anything else that I could not find on a resume or on LinkedIn or something like that, a hobby? What can you tell us about you? How can we
A
connect with you when we
hobby.
find you on a networking event?
What have I done? What have I done? So I climbed Kilimanjaro. I've skydived in every continent I've been to, and I climbed Africa's highest mountain just around New Year with my best friend. And I did that with a broken knee. I needed a knee operation. So I went up with a broken knee and came down with an even more broken knee. But I made it. We made it. And I got to fly the little South African flag at the top of
Oh,
at Uhuru. And yeah, that was really amazing. Not many people know that about me.
well, I love that you thought for a second and then you just hit it with like, yeah, well, I dived everywhere. I climbed Kilimanjaro and I had my little flag. Great. So amazing.
I don't know. Well, I did have this, you know why? Because I'm a little bit that with that one, because I've also climbed New Zealand, so Australasia's highest mountain. And I was in Seattle, and I'm so annoyed with myself still because Mount Rainier was there. And I was like, bam, I can do Mount Rainier as well. And I had an intention of also kind of climbing the highest mountains of every continent I've been to. And I just had no intention of going to Asia. I was like, Everest is its own beast. I'm not going to go to Asia and do that. But I could do, you know, Mount Cook, Kilimanjaro, Mount Rainier. And the weather let us down. I mean, Seattle and its rain, it's just miserable. And as a South African, I started like clutching my pearls and I'm like, oh, no, darling. So that's still on my wish list.
I'm from the tropics too.
No, no amount.
I lived in San Francisco before settling in Los Angeles. When I did COVID, I did Airbnbs to see what would be the next city. And I remember being in a balcony in San Francisco, and I would see the cloud, the mist that very, very well known in San Francisco, just rolling down the Golden Bridge to me. And I was like, I can see the fog, and now it's gray. And now we're done. There's no more sun today. So now
Goodbye,
it's
day.
California,
My plans.
where I need my sun. So let's go back to now. This is actually my favorite question because it's the one that really sticks with me when I talk to you guys. It's like, what advice would you give yourself if you were starting back in yachting again?
Ooh, yeah, that is a great question. I remember the advice someone gave me is if you like being in control, you're not, yachting is not for you. And I was like, whatever, but she was so right. So my advice would probably be don't ever think that you're alone. I think one of the things when you were talking about your experiences and how it made you feel, I think, you know, that tendency to kind of isolate or in like internalize any of that shame and stigma is so that is so huge in yachting. And I see so many people doing it. And I would love you to know that you are never, ever, ever alone. There is always going to be someone out there that kind of knows what you've gone through, that can help you, that can advise you, or just be that connective tissue to you getting to the next place. Whenever I do my trainings, I always have in my head that person with their kind of their back up against a crew door, feeling like they're alone, feeling kind of vulnerable. And I just want you to know that you're never alone. It may feel like that at the time, but there's always someone brilliant out there that can help you. That might be a friend, it could be professional help, but just make sure that you understand that it's not something that you have to go through alone, and there's always help out there.
Thank you. Oh, that's so true. Now finding people and good people that you can talk to, even if, with the time difference, really makes a difference, especially when you're an entrepreneur working for yourself. You find yourself connected at 11 p.m. your time, and you're like, finally, someone that I talked to in Mallorca, Ria's up, she's awake. Now I can actually talk to her. So yes, it has helped.
Totally. And I promise you, even like you've been yachting, but then also in my kind of entrepreneurial career, I have reached out to so many people. I've been open and honest about where I'm vulnerable, where I'm not able to cope. And I've just had so many people lift me up when I just didn't think that I could go on one more day, whether that was with my life or with my business. But those conversations, those connections, though, they're just incredible. And yeah, just tap into that. Whoever that is for you, tap into that when you're feeling low.
Thank you. You guys heard it happen to that. Don't feel you're bothering people. They will let you know if you're bothering them and get a big community. You need more than one person.
Yeah, exactly.
So it has been amazing to talk to you today. Thank you for all the information, everything that you're doing in yachting to make it better. So before we let you go, can you tell us how can we follow along? How can we reach you? And how can we even learn more of the courses and trainings that you're offering?
Well, thanks for having me on, obviously, first of all. And we've got a website, so www.seizethemind.co.uk. And we're on Instagram as well. We are on at Seize the Mind. And we're doing trainings. We do trainings on boats, we do trainings on board, we are at boat shows. So reach out if something in this has resonated with you. If you just want to explore what we do and how we do it, how we make it bespoke for yachting, how we take a kind of global course and make it kind of specific to yachting, then yeah, just kind of let us know. We could do one-on-one like courses for boats, so we can kind of really make it bespoke to your yacht crew. We do open and online courses. So if you're just one person and you want to jump in and find out what everyone's talking about and what the course is, obviously feel free to reach out. And I think just talking about it, you know, we're raising awareness. The short-term goal is to get as many people trained in these life-saving skills as possible. But our long-term goal is to get kind of systemic change in the industry and to get this STCW kind of amended to also include mental health awareness in it. So find out, you know, campaign, start talking about it, and we can all be part of the change that we want to see if we all collectively put our voices together. So that would be a great way.
Thank you. Just so you guys know, all her information, website, Instagram, everything you'll find in the show notes as well. So you don't have to actually go back to the recording. Just click on the links below.
Yay.
Thank you so much again for being here, for sharing, for being so vulnerable with us. We couldn't say more. Thanks again. And you have a great day.
Well, you too. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to Beyond Femme. If you like what you heard, please like, subscribe, and comment. Your comment will help us reach a broader audience. And don't miss the next episode. Bye.